Government is this great moral alchemist or moral launderer. Things that you would never think to do in your own life, that you know would be wrong in your own life, suddenly become not only acceptable, but even a positive good if it's done through the political system. I'm Sheldon Richman. I'm editor of The Freeman and have been for about 14 years. Most people grow up with the libertarian idea that they shouldn't hit other kids, shouldn't take their stuff without permission, and should keep their promises, or, you know, don't lie. And that easily can be translated into respect life, property, and keep your contracts. So most children do grow up with that. And in their personal lives, once they're adults, they pretty much abide by that. Very few people would go next door to their neighbor and say, you know, with a gun or with a subtle threat of force, saying, give me your money because I want to do something good with it, or, you know, commit some other sort of crime. To most people, that would be unthinkable. And I don't think it's only because they're afraid of the police coming. I think they also feel that's inconsistent with the way they want to live in a civilized society. So at that level, they're kind of libertarians, but at the other level, once they're thinking in a political context, the rules all seem to change. It's as if government is this great moral alchemist or moral launderer. Things that you would never think to do in your own life, that you know would be wrong in your own life, suddenly become not only acceptable, but even a positive good if it's done through the political system. How the concept of the individual has changed over the years is that's a difficult question. I'm sure I couldn't give a full answer to that even with a lot of time. I think you could make a case that in many ways it's better. I think we have a fuller, deeper appreciation of self-realization. You know, all this stuff that's going on, all these fad movements that have gone on over the years have all left probably some good, even if in a lot of ways maybe they weren't good in some ways. But I think we have a sense that, yes, you have a right to make the most of your life, and there was probably less of that and more maybe communitarianism in older days. So I'm not one of these people who take the position that we've never been less free. I think that's been criticized by David Bowes and other people, and I think that's true. I mean, you can go back to times where certainly some of our ancestors, depending on exactly who you are, particularly if you're a black person or a woman, your ancestors exactly had it much worse than you have it today. We had chattel slavery, and you had legal disabilities for women. So that has all been improved, and we should never want to shy away from that. It's just ridiculous. It won't sell to the average person to say we've never been less free. That's just wrong. But you can point out ways, you can break it down, you have to disaggregate it, and there are ways in which we're less free, there are other ways where we're more free. We're less free in related to search and seizure and surveillance. I mean, a lot of this has accelerated since 9/11, but I think you can find the beginnings of this earlier than that, where there's more surveillance, warrantless wiretapping. The Obama administration wants to broaden those laws so that they can get into internet information, even including browser history that at the moment they're not able to get. We have a thing called national security letters where the FBI basically can write its own warrants and then go to a bank or something to demand records, and then the bank, someone else's records, and then the bank can't even tell the person, the target, that the FBI has come to us and asked for information on you. So you as the target can't go to court and challenge it the way a traditional warrant could be challenged. So I think that's definitely a way. Most of the ways probably are related to national security. And of course, that's always been the state's way of justifying greater powers. But you see it in the eminent domain area, right? There's much more eminent domain where it's not for a road, not that I'm approving of that, but at least they were for more narrow reasons, right? So-called public purposes. Public purpose, the term of which is in the Constitution, was interpreted in a much more narrow way. It had to be a bridge, a road, or, you know, a post office. Now, of course, they can take it for a fancy mall or something along those lines. So we're less free. Property owners are less free that way. We're seeing encroachments on our freedom in health ways, smoking bans, and you can't have trans fats, or you have to put calorie counts on menus. And then, of course, we haven't talked about Obamacare. That hasn't fully kicked in. Inevitably, we're going to have to see more controls there because they're trying to do something that's impossible, which is bend the cost curve downward while expanding demand. and they say not intruding on our choices. Well, you can't do all three things. So something's got to give, and I have a feeling they're not going to move in a libertarian direction when they realize their problems. I think they're going to move to more controls, more overt rationing. So I think there is less freedom in our future unless we can make some change there. Technology is a very important element, I think, in a libertarian direction on net. Now, the state obviously can use technology. I already mentioned what Obama wants to do with surveilling the internet. So there are dangers there, but I think one of the things that maybe no libertarian, for the most part, even anticipated was how much we can use technology, number one, to watch the state, and number two, I mean, people are using their cell phones to catch cops, right, doing bad things, and they don't like that. They're striking back. They're making that a crime, apparently. But there are other ways that we can use technology to get around the state. First of all, it's lowered the cost of things like publishing and music reproduction. It's calling into question intellectual property law, which I believe is an infringement of individual liberty. It's making that almost unenforceable, and I think eventually it will become unenforceable. Industries and kind of lines of work, which would have been out of the question a few years ago because the upfront capital cost was so high, is now within your reach. You can do things at home, right? Film editing and film and music production and publishing. Of course, the whole internet blogging has made it easy to spread the word, spread the libertarian word. I think libertarians have exploited that very nicely, and hopefully we'll be finding even better ways to get to undermine the state, delegitimize the state. Technology, I think, is one of the great bright spots as far as the future of liberty goes.